Yeah, he's a traveling man, but unfortunately, that's a race-mixing song. Back when I first heard it, I liked it because I didn't think about the problems with race-mixing too much. But I'll tell you, if you think back on a lot of those songs in the old days, they had plenty of race-mixing they were pushing. However, I must say I really liked that song, the tune and so forth. So anyhow, here is your traveling man back from who knows where. Terrible Tommy in the bunker. It's, what is it today? I lost all track of time. I crossed that line in the ocean. This is June the 24th, Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day, and 24th. God almighty, this month has flown by. It's hard to believe. You know, I was just thinking last night that on these long flights, like 12 hours over there and 12 hours back, you got a lot of time to think. And you really don't have anybody around you can interact with because they're all numbskulls or Christ insanity people. So you get a lot of time to think. And I thought a lot of good stuff. But you know what? You get back home and you can't remember half that good stuff you were thinking about. That's always my problem. So I'm eating a lot of walnuts because that sort of helps the memory. At least they say it does. I don't know. I think it does a little bit. Well, I've completed recording 3 hours of my audio on the trip, and I've got quite a bit more. And the webmaster's editing it down a little bit because there's a lot of dry spots, but I didn't want to turn off the recorder because every time I turn off the recorder, the tour master would say something important and I'd miss it. Or somebody in the crowd would say something and I missed it. One of the problems I sort of regret is that since this was a religious tour, which my casual friend paid for, I went on it. I'd rather been on a secular tour and got down there more around Tel Aviv and so forth. We only flew into Tel Aviv and flew out of Tel Aviv, but I didn't see Tel Aviv. Because that's secular action is more in Tel Aviv and also the Palestinian things down that way. I didn't see much of that at all. Didn't see any of it all, but I saw something that was similar to that in Bethlehem, which is run by Hamas. They've got a treaty there that, at least for the time being, they're running the joint, and they got a lot of there's Palestinians in there and Palestinian Christians and so forth. And if that town represents what the Hamas government's Palestine is, it reminds me of Tijuana, Mexico. I must say that everywhere I went, in the places I went in Israel, and I went a lot of places, it was all clean. There was no graffiti on the walls or anything like that. But down there in Bethlehem, all the walls are covered with graffiti. Some of it was resistance type stuff, you know, screw you Israel, something like that, but the streets were much dirtier and like that. So anyhow, that's what I saw of that side of the situation, but I didn't get down there to where I could look over the fence and see what was going on in the Palestinian area. Well, one thing's great, all our money that we poured into Israel and all the tremendous amounts of billions of dollars that Christians are pouring into there. I'm telling you, I'm going to try to get a count of how much tourism money goes into Israel because I think it is a fantastic amount. Well, they're putting it to good use because their highways are all brand new, all paved beautiful. Streets in Jerusalem all paved wonderful, and I didn't see any infrastructure breakdown at all. So while our infrastructure is going to hell, we poured so much money in there that their infrastructure looks great. I'll tell you. Yeah, I never seen so well kept and paved highways as over there in Israel. I don't know whether I mentioned that or played it back for you, but our tour guide said they didn't have hardly any alcoholism in Israel, very little. And they had no drug problem, or probably very little, and probably a little bit anywhere. But they get on it like a really come down on it when it happens. and they don't tolerate pornography, at least out in the open. So those are some of the good points I saw or heard about. Like I may have said the other day, one thing you got to understand is these people are not like the German Jew, Polish Jew, Eastern European Jew, Russian Jews that came in there, because many of those people are fairly white. And, you know, some of them you could shave their beards off and you couldn't tell them from anybody, one of your neighbors. But now it's deteriorating down to where it's becoming all Sephardic. They're like, you know, look like the average Mexican, mestizo, maybe a little bit better, but very dark. The whole army's full of them, everything. So the demographics of Israel show that it's going to someday go down a tube, whether it's ecologically because they'll run out of water or... there's several things that can impact Israel, because everything they have coal generators, they don't have nuclear power, and they import all their coal from outside the country. So there's several things that could go wrong in Israel. It's sort of a balancing act to where that Israeli state could collapse without any Arabs firing guns at them. And it's obvious to me that if the United States and Europe quits pumping money in there and the tourism thing flattens out, because we're looking towards a dollar collapse in the United States and all over the world. Well, since Israel sort of lives off in a large degree all these other countries, you can see the handwriting on the wall there. I don't believe there's any possibility of Israel sustaining itself if the funds from the United States and Europe and other places stops. I mean, they do have a pretty good electronic manufacturing system over there, and they're coming up with some good stuff, but I don't think it's enough to sustain the Israeli state if the United States economy collapses and European as a whole, so forth. And it looks to me very much like that's in the near future, or, you know, when I say near, it might be 10 years, might be 5 years, or it could be tomorrow. Like I said the other day, and also the growing rift between the secular and reform and Jews that are pretty much easygoing and adopting a sort of modern type approach to things against the Orthodox, extreme Orthodox. Most of those people, the extreme Orthodox, most of them came out of Russia. I think maybe on that last deal when the Iron Curtain fell. But like I said, they are parasites. They're not paying taxes. They're having giant amounts of kids. Like I said the other day, it reminds me of blacks in this country as far as that's concerned. And they refuse to serve in the military. So the other people, the secular Jews, the more modern Jews that don't stick to all the strict 600 laws that the Orthodox have. Can you imagine that? You know, even Christians and Jews have the Ten Commandments. Those Orthodox have 600 laws. They even had one there, the hotel where we lived at or stayed at, where... if you got on the wrong elevator, it stopped on every floor. And they had that on there so Orthodox Jews didn't have to punch a button, because it's against one of the 600 laws for a Jew to do anything on the Sabbath. Anything. Push a button on an elevator. So the tour guide said, make sure you don't get on that elevator, because you're going to stop at every floor every time. And like I said, if I'd had a blindfold on and got off the airline, I'd have thought I was in Southern California, except when you see synagogues and mosques around. I mean, it's the terrain and topography is just like Southern California, where I spent 40 years of my life. So almost the same kind of bushes and trees and everything. And they brought a bunch of sycamores in there, which we got a bunch of sycamores there in the San Diego area. They brought them in from Australia thinking they grow so fast they make great railroad ties, but they turned out not to make great railroad ties. And down in over there in Israel. They brought them in because they were trying to clear the swamps that were in Israel, big swamps, which I think is a mistake to ever get rid of totally a swamp. It's an integral part of the body of nature. But anyhow, they brought in these sycamore trees thinking they'd suck up all this excess water from these ponds and so forth. Well, they didn't do it. And so now they're stuck with sycamores, and it's not much good for anything else. Well, the big news of 9 Negroes getting sail made down there in Georgia has gone on and on and on and on and on, like several people have never been killed in a group. I mean, look at the Middle East, 30, 40, 50, 100 every day. And there's been large amounts of people like that killed in the United States over and over again, most of the time white. But anyhow, the black race is like a child race, and they always have been. They're just not mature. I mean, I'm not saying every one, but the majority of them are like little children. If things don't go their way, they stomp their feet and cry and yell and throw tantrums. And the white race used to dish out tough love and kept them under control. And a lot of blacks liked that because they had their black communities and they had law and order and so forth. But now that the white race has gone just the opposite, almost like they wish they were black. I mean, I can't believe all these demonstrations that are half white and all these people going on and on and on and on ad nauseum. I'm sure you were sick of watching it like I was, but it can be a good thing. They're going crazy about that Confederate battle flag. Well, I think it's doing us a favor. I think it's great. There's a lot of people out there that are not going to stand for that, and they're going to get more radical. And when they get more radical, they'll probably do more radical things. But we'll let the right wing play that game, and we'll just lay back and keep our powder dry and see what happens. Because there's going to be pushback and payback and all that kind of stuff. And then there's going to be more pushback from the other side. So actually, all this hysteria that's going on, from my point of view and my tactical vision, supports our cause. It doesn't support the right wing and the neocons' cause and like that, because they're backtracking as fast as they can. Oh, we love the Negroes, and nothing we do has anything to do racism, and the Negroes know they're lying through their teeth. The blacks know these white people are lying through their teeth, except the ones that are totally Christian lobotomized, that you saw a lot of them. They're totally lost forever. Yeah. So, but you got to remember, boys and girls, that flag did not represent the working class of the day down south and the poor whites in the south. They didn't have a flag. They maybe thought they had a flag, but that was the flag of the oligarchy. It was totally plantation oligarchy rule in the South. You couldn't do anything without the okay of the man, the oligarchy, the capitalist of the day. And that was his flag. And how he could have avoided the war, and so the North could have too, but the South had more reason to avoid the war than the North, because the North had an unending supply of new immigrants coming in from Europe, and they could have fought on for 50 years. But the South caused the death of all these white working people, poor whites in the South, and the destruction of their homes, and they drafted them in, and if they tried to run, they'd send regulators after them and drag them back to the military. So what do I care about that flag? That's not the white working man's flag. Unfortunately, not even the swastika is, because it flew over the deaths of millions of white people. And that war could have been avoided, too, So I don't know what your flag's going to be. I don't think we need a flag at all. I think that George Lincoln Rockwell coined it when he said, "My skin is my uniform. My skin is my flag. I don't need a flag." So, but you, if you try to explain this to a right-wing Southerner, he's liable to kill you. He's liable to beat the hell out of you if he can, because they've formed this Confederate flag into a religion when it represented their worst enemies. And their worst enemies, where is your worst enemy? It's always right at home. It's never thousands of miles away. It's never tens of thousands of miles away. Your worst enemy is right close to you. Definitely in your own country. Definitely in your own state. Probably definitely in your own county. So that's what you got to look at. And not... Well, the black radio shows, I listen to them just to, for informative purpose. They're just going absolutely berserk about getting rid of this flag. Now, like I say, that means nothing to me, getting rid of that damn flag. But it does mean something to me if it's going to more radicalize these Tea Party people. And a lot of those guys out there that the only thing they're going to be good for is whatever, however they react. We cannot convince them to go our way, and they surely can't convince us to go their reactionary way. So they just have to go, and for the most part, we don't need to say much. You know, we talk on the radio show here, but we don't have to say much. You know, if a guy's bitching about the flag, say, "Oh, yeah, that's too bad. That's terrible." That's the way I do it. I'm not going to argue with him about it. If I tried to tell him about the Southern oligarchy, their eyes would glaze over and, you know, nobody home. So why do it? People that are hopeless, reactionary, conservative, Christian, Zionist people, you cannot change them. The only thing that can change them is a ball bat over their head from the enemy. Now, the more rope they give these blacks, the more they're going to want more rope. They'll never give up. They want it all. Every time you give them something, they want more. I want more because you did this, and I want more because you did that. A perfect example of how they feel about things is, and their hypocrisy, which I don't think they intellectually even understand hypocrisy. There was a young white man who died in a jail up in Seattle of dehydration because they left him without water, the jailers. And he died because they didn't oversee or check him in his cell. Now, it showed on TV there must have been maybe 100, maybe 150 white people demonstrating outside, and that's great. There should have been 1,000 or 10,000. But what didn't you see? You didn't see any black people demonstrating. But when blacks have a problem, you see half the demonstration is stupid whites. But not this one. When it's a white person being murdered by the system, they're not out there. So that's the best example I've seen in a long time of the way it really is, because most white people are not going to even notice that, not going to recognize it. And even if you tell them, they're going to figure some goddamn excuse to... that say it's not like it is. You know, truth is a lie. You know, truth is a lie, man. So for my way of thinking, they can take down all the Confederate flags, take down all the, and eat, make them illegal, can't fly a Confederate flag. They can knock down all the statues of the so-called heroes from the Confederacy, all that kind of stuff. Just get rid of it and watch these whites. If there's any of them any good, they're going to react. But there's not going to be that many. They talk and they talk. Sons of the South, I heard them on the radio. Well, that flag is not about racism. Well, they're partially right, because it's half or three quarters about money and about the value of a slave, which the value of a slave would vary from maybe $200 to $1,000 or more. So... that's what they were fighting for. And so, if it had been about racism at the end of the Civil War, or even before, they had taken all the blacks out of the country, shipped them all out. You know, I don't think it'd been good to ship them to the into Jamaica and places like that, because that's just a staging area. Now they're coming back in from Haiti and all over the place, because it's a short trip and we have no real immigration policy at all. Y'all come. Well, another thing that's going on is the property values in the last couple of years in San Francisco have doubled. There's a bubble emerging in San Francisco. Now, it's being fed also by off-sea, non-white, rich entrepreneurs who are pouring their money back in, trying to get it in safe places. They think the United States is still a safe place. Well, I got news for them. It's not being a safe place too well. Or at least I don't think it's going to be in the future. Can you imagine that? Now, in the funny part, in fact, it's a sick part, they've raised the minimum wage to $15 to work in San Francisco in the fast food. But where are you going to live when the property has doubled in 2 years? How far out in the boonies? You're going to have to be on the subway or a bus or a train or drive an old car for 100 miles to afford to live around San Francisco. Either that or you live in the street. And this is happening not just in the United States. It's happening in all the big cities. It's happening in London. A property's going up. It's a fake economy. It's a bubble, and it's going to collapse sooner or later. But in the meantime, what do working people do? Well, like Kaiser says on his financial show, it's leading people to desperation, to where they will arise, at least some of them, and do something. He said the United States is going to really arise because of 200, 300 million people, and they're all armed with guns. It's pretty obvious what's going to happen as things turn shitty here. In London, people don't have the guns, so what they do, they drink themselves to death, they eat themselves to death, or they join with ISIS and go to war. One way or another, like committing suicide. So anyhow, they're coming in from everywhere with a lot of foreign aid money and all that kind of stuff, and drug money and everything, feeding these big real estate bubbles, which they can only be a bubble so long, and then they're going to pop. And then Katie bar the door shut, get out of town. I will say one thing about Israel, they're ready to go. You can't walk a block without seeing young army troops with an M16 over their shoulder. I don't mean pointing up in the air either. It's pointing forward, slung under their arm. Plenty of ammo. Almost everybody working in these hotels and so forth is walking around with a 9mm. So if crap goes down, they're pretty well ready to do something. Unlike here. I think I'm just now getting rid of my jet lag, if you can believe it. That was, that was 24 hours just from Israel and back, and then 3 hours from Chicago to the East Coast, and then on the way back we had all kinds of problems, so that's 5 hours. So I guess I'm allowed a little jet lag, but I'm telling you, you feel like walking around in a daze. Boy, all this hullabaloo about the flag, I think it's taking precedence over the murders. I think they're more excited over this flag than they were the 9 blacks who got killed. And that's probably really true if people would tell the truth and not lie through the teeth like most people do. But a typical example is now the right wing is going like mad, and the left wing is going like mad, the progressives, and I see here Ann Coulter's going, people like that, and Pamela Geller. Oh, they make big money off this shit. Of course, Ann Coulter is just a media whore of the worst kind. And you know, there's several of them around like that. Says here, a day after South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, you know, she's the daughter of Indians from India, who's the governor of Georgia. South Carolina, shifted her view and called for the Confederate flag to be removed from the state capitol in the wake of the Charleston shooting. Ann Coulter dismissed the Republican on Tuesday. Quote, I really like Nikki Haley since she's a Republican. We all know Republicans could do no wrong. On the other hand, she's an immigrant and does not understand America's history, unquote. Coulter said while appearing on Kennedy on Fox News Network. Kennedy said, Coulter, if immigrants couldn't understand American history, to which Coulter replied, quote, well, she doesn't. Haley was born in South Carolina and the child of Indian immigrants. Yeah. I bet if I explained it to the governor about the connection between the oligarchs and the plantation owners, the capitalists of their day, and the subjection and suppression and oppression of white poor people and working people in the South during that period, even worse than the so-called oppression of the Negro, even though the Negro wasn't free to go away, which is very important. But while he was on the plantation, most plantation owners fed him well, clothed him, gave him a church, buried him when they died, and so forth, and introduced that virus of Christianity to the poor bastards, and now they'll never crawl out of that swamp. Well, I see that ISIS is busy. ISIS militants released videos of the detonation of two Muslim shrines near the ancient city of Palmyra, raising fears about the fate of the ancient ruins. Now, these are all Muslims against Muslims, you know. Of course, Christians have done that for years, too, fighting each other, killing each other. One of the destroyed shrines was the tomb of Muhammad bin Ali, a companion of the Prophet Muhammad's cousin, while another was a 500-year-old shrine of Sufi scholar Nizar Abu Baha Edwin. The detonations came after ISIS was reported to have booby-trapped the Palmyra ruins last week, despite the facts that the militant group didn't immediately wreck the ancient city as many had feared. Well, there you go, ISIS, audacious like Genghis Khan, kicking ass and chopping heads, man. Now remember, the coming of ISIS is directly connected to Bush's invasion of Iraq. It's all begun there. So if people want to cry about this horrible ISIS, well, go down there and tell Bushy what you think of him, you know, or any time he appears in public. Let him know what you think of him. He should be, obviously, tried for war crimes and given a life sentence or whatever they decide. But you see, a majority of white people in this country that are conservative and Republican think he's a wonderful guy. He was protecting us. What? You know, it's almost impossible to live in this insanity. You go back through history and many of our so-called vaunted hero leaders have all been war criminals of one type or another. Well, I'm going to tell you another thing about Israel that you may say, that Metzger, he's gone bonkers. He's in with the Hebes. Well, no, all I can tell you is what I saw. I saw the Israelis in league with European historical people rebuilding and uncovering the remains of like Roman cities and all that kind of stuff. I didn't see them blowing them up because they weren't Christian. In fact, there's about 7 or 8 pagan cities that they continue to unearth and rebuild. I mean, for people to go see. So that's a little different than ISIS. You know how the media, every time big news about race happens, they drag these retreads out of the closet. Usually skinheads that were only in the struggle of maybe a few months or a year or so, never really were grounded in the race idea at all. They were just playing a game, and they drag them out, and they do their little bit. They give them some money and shove them back in the closet. Here's an example.
Racism through online forums. D. Dean Reynolds spoke with someone who made that same descent into darkness, but came out of it.
Confederate flag.
Didn't even know that that was there.
Open a certain box in Christian Piccolini's home.
There is a Nazi flag.
And the first things to pop out are painful reminders of his past, artifacts of his days as a race-baiting skinhead.
You were a skinhead for how many years?
I was a neo-Nazi skinhead from 1987 until 1995, roughly from the time I was 14 years old until I was 21.
He says he and alleged Charleston shooter Dylann Roof might once have been kindred spirits.
Would you have applauded Dylann Roof?
I would have. I would have thought that this guy had the courage to speak for the rest of us and to do something.
Piccolini grew up the son of immigrants in a blue-collar suburb of Chicago.
I was standing here smoking a joint, and the guy walked up to me, and he just said, "Don't you know that that's what the communists and the Jews want you to do to keep you docile?" And I was, like, infatuated by this power. He had a shaved head and boots and thin suspenders on, and I'd never seen anything like it. From that moment on, I wanted to be like that guy.
He liked the message and loved the music. That's Piccolini leading his old band, Final Solution.
The music spoke of unemployment, and it spoke of black-on-white crime. When I was told that the white race was being attacked from all sides and that minorities were to blame for all the problems that I was having, I bought in.
Back then, recruitment was one kid at a time, but these days, the radical fringe can easily work its way into anyone's home computer.
It's much easier because there's a layer of anonymity for people, so you can say almost anything you want.
Now, watching events unfold in Charleston, Piccolini hears echoes in the sentiments of Dylann Roof.
He could have literally torn pages out of my book and posted it online. The rhetoric is the same. Not everybody becomes a Dylann Roof, but I think that there are thousands of people like him across our country that eventually could be radicalized enough to cause as much damage as he did.
These days, Christian Piccolini tries to help others leave the skinhead movement just like he did. And Scott, he's co-founded a nonprofit organization called Life After Hate.
Important insight tonight. Dean, thank you very much.
Yeah, they always find, it seems like all these guys that come out of the woodwork years later, found some kind of a group or organization to foundation to raise money. Well, in some ways I agree with him. The shallow part of the skinhead struggle should have left and became more educated, became more professional, and got into positions of some power. Which they had every opportunity to do, which I told them during the 80s to do. But these guys came in, you know, he may have been in a couple of years, but they're not grounded properly in the race issue. They're getting the race issue from a lot of guys, so-called leaders, who are superficial about race. And many of them are dishonest, philosophically and intellectually dishonest, and don't point out the failures and errors of the white race at the same time, which they should do, because most people, working class people, don't have to apologize for what the ruling class whites have done, because they're just as much an enemy, they're more of an enemy to us than they are to the blacks. But the media and the Southern Poverty Millionaires Law Center always keep a few of these people around, like the Simon Wiesenthal Center, some of the people I've even worked with or worked with me. And when anything comes up like this, they wind them up and bring them out, make a big speech, and then put them back in the closet, give them a check, and away they go. Sort of like some of the anti-communists, some of the people who were communists and left the Communist Party. Well, as far as I'm concerned, and you can argue if you want, we'd have been much better to leave the Communist Party be totally out front as a party than trying to drive them underground. I think we made our espionage problem much worse. The Communist Party was never going to take over in this country. But yet, the big boys wanted to make a big deal out of it and made it a crime to be a communist and all that kind of crap. which usually does just the opposite of what you want to do. Anybody says to me, I'm a communist, I say, so what? I mean, what are you thinking about? What do you think should happen? What your label doesn't mean anything to me, because I have talked to communists who made some pretty good sense. I've read Lenin, I've read Marx, and you can't throw the whole thing out as garbage. There's a lot of stuff in there that's correct. So, and I'm sure that Uncle Adolf, as I've said before, read Lenin very carefully, because Lenin was, I believe, sharper than Hitler. One thing that Lenin said that I really liked was, we don't want to suppress religion, just take the funding away. And that's what should be done in this country. Take the tax exemption away from churches. Because as long as there's big money to be made and tax exemption, you're going to have everybody and his brother want to be a preacher and have a mega church with 20,000 people in it. So the only way, you don't have to suppress them, just take the money away and let them finance their own situation. Not on my dollar. Well, this is from the New York Times, since September 11, 2001, nearly twice as many people have been killed by white supremacists, anti-government fanatics, and other non-Muslim extremists than by radical Muslims. The headline is, Homegrown Radicals More Deadly Than Jihadists in the U.S. Well, I hope so, but I hope they don't go off half-cock. The time will come when you, of course, you're going to need those kind of people. But not yet. Well, I see this presidential candidate, Cruz, has got his tit to ringer. The Federal Elections Commission told the PAC that it cannot have Cruz's name in its title because it's not an authorized committee of the 2016 presidential candidate. He called it Jews for Cruz. Oh, Cruz is in trouble again. Ted Cruz's dad says Jews and Catholic Democrats put their party first and religion second. Evangelical pastor Rafael Cruz, the father of 2016 Republican presidential candidate, made his remarks to a Florida Tea Party audience. Yeah, there you go. Another guy making his money off the gullible working class, running probably a big church. Yep, take his tax exemption away from him. Well, young Foote wasn't just pissed off at blacks, he was pissed off at religion in general, and that's another reason why he entered that church and let him have it. Yeah, there's growing numbers of white people in this country and other people who are sick and tired of the things that the Zionist Christians and Christians in general get away with and then cry that they're oppressed. I can see nothing wrong with the basic gripes that Foote had, and most of us have have those same feelings. Most of us know to keep them contained, and if it has to come to that someday, maybe, but not now. But you see, the elephant in the room is that Foote was being pumped with the psychotic drugs. And if a young person is either into illicit drugs or even worse, medically prescribed psychotic drugs that cause people to go over the hill and be violent. And you can look at any of these guys who have done anything about killing a bunch of people, and you look at the pictures when they take their mugshots, and their eyes are round and staring like, you've seen it. Big eyes and so forth. Now, here, this Foote is the same way. He had healthy views that the black race is out of hand. He didn't have any guidance from his father, I guess, except let him get a 45, which was a little dumb under those conditions. But he knows his son's being pumped with these psychotic-causing drugs. And so this caused people to go bananas and have a lot of hatred against whoever's next to them, or whoever they decide to be. And they go over the line, which Foot did. But there's nothing wrong with his views on race. I think all of us agree with him on the basic idea. And his idea of being pretty much anti-religious, too. Because he sees that the weakness in the white race is really a culmination of hundreds of years of religious teaching, you know. Turn the other cheek. All that kind of stuff. Well, anyhow, now this poor kid's going to be probably executed and so forth. And I just hope that there's not a lot more of these white kids that don't understand, and they need to control that feeling of hatred and so forth honestly, and keep it on the ready for whenever it's maybe needed, you know. And I make no apologies for feeling that way. I feel the same way. I'm offended every time I walk down the street. I'm offended every time I look at television. I'm offended every time I look at the papers. I'm offended 24 hours a day by these bastards in power and in the media and other races saying the things they do. You want to grab them by the throat and tear their throats out. But you have to bide your time and take care of your situation. Well, it says here comes the duh statement. This was an attack on black people by someone with a white supremacist ideology. Almost no one I know that's a racist calls themselves a white supremacist. But it may come down to where we'll have to employ white supremacy to get out from under this crap. Not the rich folks kind, not the corporate types, but downright Genghis Khan types. Roof wore the insignia of apartheid South Africa and the former Rhodesia. Well, he had respect for them. So do I. I hated to see South Africa destroy itself, and I hated to see Rhodesia go down a tube. When Ian Smith came to the United States, who was the president of Rhodesia, and had a big meeting in San Diego, I turned out to support him. Only to find later, just like George Wallace and Ross Barnett and all of them, they sell out. Anybody with power like that can't be trusted. That's why some right-wingers get mad at me, because, oh, Putin's our salvation, or this guy's our salvation, and this guy said the right thing. Bullshit. Anybody with power cannot be trusted. And even if I had the power, I wouldn't trust myself. Remember what he said before he opened fire? Quote, you rape our women and you're taking over our country and you have to go. Well, I agree with that. They should have gone a long time ago. But on the other hand, we're the ones that are going. We're the ones that are being pushed out and outbred and all that kind of stuff. So somebody's going, and up right now it's white people, or especially working class white people. The rich white people, they don't give a shit. They'll buy an island out someplace, like these big shot phony preachers that I hate worse than black people. Read this manifesto in which his hatred predictably spills over into Jews and other groups. Well, there's plenty of rotten Jews at the top and in the banking. You know, my tour guide in Israel, he used to work for Goldman Sachs in New York City. And now he's down in Israel playing the religious game. And I believe he's truly religious. But can anybody that sold their soul to Goldman Sachs be truly? Ironically, this happened just as Abraham Foxman prepared to retire next month as the head of the Anti-Defecation League. It only proves the organization's ongoing relevance and necessity. Oh yeah, we got to have them. And always remember, the Anti-Defamation League is simply a fact-finding section of B'nai B'rith, the real powerhouse of these worldwide Zionist people. is B'nai B'rith, the Masonic Lodge. And you don't hear hardly any right-wing racial leader talk about it. They talk about the Jews are this, the Jews are that. Talk about the ADL, how horrible it is. But you don't hear them talking about B'nai B'rith. Start studying a little about the B'nai B'rith. That's where the power is at. Then he goes on in this article to say, some say this was an attack on religion itself. Well, maybe it was. You'll have to ask Mr. Foote. Senator Rick Santorum, now here comes the pettifogging right wing, has said the attack on the church was a result of anti-religious sentiment in this country. In particular, it was an attack on Christianity. You know, Christianity is really under attack in this country. They control about $500 billion a year and more. They're under attack. They're coming to get them. You hear those preachers on the air all the time saying, oh, they're out to do us in. As he said on New York's AM 970, quote, it's obvious a crime of hate. Well, there is no difference between crimes. All crimes are hate. If you walk up and blow a guy away to take his billfold, how hateful can you be? At least the guy who comes up and kills you because you're opposite ideology or in an opposite group, he's got a reason. The guy on the street just comes up and he doesn't care who you are, what race you are or not, and takes your money and blows you away. We don't know the rationale, but what other rationale could there be? Well, there can be a lot of other rationales. You're sort of lost that people could walk into a Bible study in a church and indiscriminately kill people. We're now seeing assaults on our religious liberty we've never seen before. Well, let me tell you one thing. If that kid Foote had walked into the Bible study and said, I'm an atheist, and started telling them what was screwed in the Bible and Jesus never existed, I venture to say he would have been dead and the nine people would have been standing over him with clubs. An attack on religious liberty? Many on the right believe that Christians are now an aggrieved minority, holding down billions in their bank accounts, whose religious rights are under attack. What religious rights? The right to tell us all what to do? That's the Christian church likes that power to order people around. Well, we're not supposed to live in that kind of country. We're supposed to be able to live the way we want to and not have some church making the laws and forcing us to do things we don't want to or else. And they use things like this homosexual marriage thing to beat people over the head with. I mean, at the shape of this country today, who cares if a guy and a guy get married? I don't care. Fuck it. Does it make me upset? Yeah, to a degree, but things are so crazy now, we're in such a zoo that nothing seems too weird. They seem to want to back burner the racial element in the attack. So now Santorum is trying to move it from a racial attack to a religious attack. Because he went into the church, the church is a Christian church, that was the issue. Well, probably a combination of issues, like our European friends over there burning down churches up in Norway and Sweden. They're pagans. They don't like the Christian church, though. On the other hand, others see it as only an assault on blacks. Well, everybody gets what they want in this kind of deal. They run with whatever they want. In fact, both sides are partially right. Well, that's true. This was an attack on race. Well, it was sort of a defense of the white race in reverse. And it was an attack on religion. The attack in Charleston was an assault on the most important African-American institution, the church. Of course, the corporates love those churches, black churches, to keep these blacks in line. Oh, yeah. Talk about being used. The black race is so used by the Christian churches, it's unbelievable. And then they take these guys that are preachers in a black church who got an eighth grade education, they make them Supreme Court justices because they're a man of the cloth. Studies show that 53% of African Americans attend religious service at least once a week. Well, that's why they're not winning. They're never going to win with Christianity. It may help them. It may agitate. It may get a few people excited. But Malcolm X got more done for blacks in 1 week than all the black churches did in decades. 23% of American Jews attend services at least monthly. We might covet the religiosity of our black neighbors. 23% of the Jews. I question those figures, but I really don't care. That intense religiosity has enabled some relatives of the victims to forgive Dylan, which to his Jewish mind seems incomprehensible. Dylan was not asked for forgiveness, quite the opposite. Well, if I had a family member that was murdered in the attack, I would hate the person who killed them with a perfect passion. I might even go out and try to find him and kill him myself in retribution. This turning the other... I don't believe any human being, no matter what color they should turn the other cheek, no matter which side you're on. I mean, they look stupid out there, these overweight blacks hugging each other and say, "We're going to forgive that boy," you know. So, yes, the Charleston attack was an assault on religion. Well, there needs to be more assault on religion. Not necessarily going into a church and murdering people. There's other ways to fight religion, like going to JesusNeverExisted.com and get your mind right about religion. It was an assault on God's house. Well, from my point of view, there is no God's house. There's nature in the natural world. There's no house with a God in it. Because that's just about as pagan as you can get. The very name of that church, which also named the name of countless synagogues, is Emmanuel. God is with us. Well, I can assure you, God isn't with you. In fact, if God was worth a shit, he would have protected you. Now, all the Jews that they say died in World War II, what the hell did God ever do for them? You got to get out of this God thing. Now, I know I'm in a minority within a minority, but I'm not going to give you the wrong scoop. I'm going to tell you what I've learned over the decades and finally sunk in. God was with them. They invited God in because they were studying God's words, trying to discern the meaning of God's revelation. No doubt they found the very presence of God in the midst of this sacred community and their history. Well, come on, God, show yourself. Come on down, God, show yourself. Jesus, they keep saying you're coming back. That was 2,000 years and you haven't come back yet. So yes, Dylan aimed at black people. Yeah, he did, because he's pissed off that black people keep killing black white people and raping white women and all those things, and no one ever has mass demonstrations for white people that get brutalized. And that's our white race's fault. It's not the black race's fault. It's their fault for not apologizing for black rapists and killers, but it's the white race's fault for not taking things in hand and straightening it out. Yes, Dylan took aim at a church. We pause to remember the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham in 63, which claimed the lives of 4 black girls, and is very possibly was set up by the a spinoff of the FBI. Because what did that do to support and promote white separation or white supremacy? What did that do to support the Klan? No, it was just the opposite. And the spate of church burnings in the civil rights area in the South. Well, maybe the blacks should start burning white churches and even it up. And it wouldn't bother me as long as a bunch of people didn't get killed. And the church burning several years ago and the synagogues in the South bombed during the civil rights era. Well, the South was being invaded by a power from the North. And the natural people of the South resisted. And like any virus, they attacked the evidence of the virus. It surely was synagogues and white and black organizations and churches. That's just like defending your country. No different, you know, if they come in there and try to change your whole way of life and what you believe, I think you're qualified to fight back. Yes, Dylan aimed at religion, and Dylan was also taking aim at God. Dylan going after God. Well, I don't know. White supremacists have numerous ties with neo-Nazis. And what would they have learned from their role models? Consider the title of Lucy DeWitowicz's classic history of the Holocaust is The War Against the Jews. Actually, it wasn't just a war against the Jews. It wasn't even just a war against Judaism. They always drag the Nazis in, no matter what. The Nazis were waging war against the biblical good because they hated the idea of the God-given morality. The problem with the Nazi Party was they had too many Christians in it. Too many Christians in the SS. And I will give some of the leaders there credit for building pagan racial schools for the young people in Germany, which they were trying to do. I forget his name. I forget everything nowadays. So, Dylan Foote was a victim also. He was a victim of modern psychiatric drugs, like many of these guys that go out shooting. And he was a victim of the reverse discrimination and all the offensive things that white people have to face nowadays. Now, they're not going to talk. I've only heard a couple of people talk about this drugs that he was being fed, and the drugs that the guy in Colorado was fed, and the guy, drugs that were fed to the Asian guy down in Virginia, I believe it was, that killed all those people. They don't want to talk about that because the pharmaceutical business is a multi-billion dollar industry. And through the Food and Drug Agency that they control, they can keep this shit out of the news and keep the argument out of the news media to where almost nobody is talking about these drugs that these young people are being given, and then it causes them to become violent or helps them to become violent. And as long as the pharmaceutical business has the superpower they do over the government of this country and the governments around the world, it's going to keep going. And it's not going to stop. And there's going to be far more of these kind of uproars and killings. I can predict at least 2 a year. And as an economy, you know, to where kids can't get to college, they don't have money to get to college, or they're in debt so far to the banks for going to college, there's going to be all kinds of reason to start shooting or whatever, bombing or whatever they do, lighting fires or whatever. It's going to get more. And they're going to blame everybody but all the real reason. And so nothing will get better until we have a complete collapse. And then I'll drag my book out that says, Might Makes Right, and we'll be back in business. Well, maybe I won't last that long, but I know many of you will. And so I hope you'll have the plan all in your mind, that when the time comes, you'll know what the time comes. But we're not there yet. But don't get into fights and arguments with these right-wingers and conservatives. For that matter, the liberals either. But the ones that are the most dangerous are actually the conservative right-wing Christians. Do not get in big arguments with them and draw attention to yourself as a lone wolf. Well, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Freya's Day. Yeah, we need a song. Somebody request a song, I'll play it. If not, I'll pick out one myself. In the meantime, I got to get my Confederate flag back up. When I first moved here to Indiana, I flew different flags around the property, and I gave that up. That's ridiculous. Didn't get me anywhere. Didn't cause anybody to come over and say, hey, I agree with you. And so you're just putting a target on your head when you do stuff like that. See you tomorrow. 14:05. And remember, no cause is ever lost as long as one person is still fighting for it.